301-230-0980 is the number. Tapped into the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham will take you up to 4 o'clock. The DOC, Rick Doc Walker, will take you on your afternoon drive home. Right now, we go out to the guest hotline for the second time this show. We find our pal Logan Paulson, one half of the Take Command podcast. You can download that wherever you get your podcast. What's going on, big fella? How are you?
Much, man. It's good to be talking with you.
I'm glad to be talking to you, too, man. First and foremost, the one thing that's really been interesting to me about the first seven practices, Logan, of camp, what do you make of, like, how often they've gone pads versus not being in pads as a former player? Like, compare the first 7 days of this camp to the first 7 days of training camp where you were in the National Football League.
Yeah, you know, this is quite a bit different than when I was playing, and quite a bit different than from when all the guys that I've played with were playing, quite honestly. You know, like when you talk to B. Mitch, when you talk to Santana, when you talk to Fred, like we always kind of have the old guy reminisce conversation, but I do think this is smart. I think this is the direction the NFL should be headed, because I will say, like, when I was coming out of, like, those early pseudo double days my rookie year, and definitely when there was in double days when I was in college, like my body was not physically right until probably week four, sometimes week five of the season, you know, because you've just been through such a difficult training block. And so I do think, like Dan said it in his first presser, and I agree with this 100%, like his job is to keep the guys healthy. And one of the reasons this team was successful last year is because they were one of the healthier teams in the NFL. And so this is one of the tools you can utilize, one of the variables you can mess with to make sure that this team is healthy moving into the season. And again, like, the football is a violent collision-based sport and injuries are going to happen. But if we can mitigate some soft tissue injuries, like, might as well. Like, from what I understand, like, they've been pretty healthy in this camp. And then I talked to some of my buddies up in Baltimore. They've had a, you know, kind of a myriad of soft tissue injuries. Like, those are within your control. And, you know, you can't make the team in the tub. You can't get reps if you're in the tub. So I do think, like, managing the elements you can manage here, in this case pads, is ultimately going to be the right thing for the Commanders moving into 2025.
Yeah, I definitely agree with the philosophy as well. And it just seems like everybody in that building, the support staff, coaches, trainers, and all that, like, they're all on the same page when it comes to, you know, giving the guys the best, you know, chance to go out and have success. So it's awesome to hear that. I saw a picture. I think Jalen Holmes posted, like, the hyperbaric chamber that they've now gotten there. So they're doing everything in their power to make sure these guys are right. And I think, you know, that's the reason why we haven't really seen any injuries to this point in camp, as I'm knocking on wood, big fella. Through 7 days.
Yeah, me too, man.
Through 7 days, though, Logan, who's some guys that have flashed to you?
Gosh, I mean, if we had, you know, like, I'd basically say everyone on the defense, like, all that whole group has really come in and exceeded expectations, specifically guys in the secondary. And if you've listened to any of my content on, you know, Take Command of the Command Center podcast, like, I've been just really touting how impressive that group has been. You know, you talk about Trey Amos as a rookie, and the poise and the composure he shows when the football's in the air is just really incredible. I think Marshawn Lattimore looks to be in great shape and kind of poised for a big year if he can stay healthy. Mike Sanderson, I was really concerned about him moving to the slot. Obviously, that's a new position, new angles, new route combinations you have to defend, and he's done an excellent job. And then the two safeties, man. Like, I know, like, the corners are kind of the sexy positions, but, you know, Quan Martin looks awesome coming off the shoulder surgery. And, you know, Will Harris, I think, was one of the sneakier good additions this offseason by Adam Peters. Like, his ability to play man coverage, his instinct in the post, his ability to mix it up in the box. Like, I've just been super impressed. And then the depth of that group, like, Noah Igbinoghene's had some really
outstanding reps. He had a day-to-day, man.
Yeah. I mean, and then, like, this is one of a couple days that he played really well. You know, I agree with you. And so, it's just, you know, Tyler Owens, like, that whole group, or the Revo's communication in the back end. Yeah. I don't know if it's year two in the defense. I don't know if it's the leadership. I don't know if they've changed something. But they just look so much more confident in the back end of the defense.
I totally agree. And I think, Logan, it ultimately is going to help unlock this pass rush unit, which I think is going to really, you know, surprise some people. Like, I think they have the guys on the interior to consistently be able to push the pocket. And I think they have solid guys on the edge to where they're going to be able to keep contained. My question is this about how they're going to generate pressure. Based on the secondary being improved, Logan, do you see this number changing? Last year, I believe the Commanders blitzed at the sixth highest rate in the National Football League. Does that number go up or go down with the secondary being even better?
Yeah, you know what's funny is I think that's just part of who Joe Witt Jr. wants to be. And okay. I think when you look at his model, like you look at what Dan Quinn was in Dallas, like they didn't have to blitz all the time. Obviously, they had Micah Parsons. But I do think, like, you can get into some simulated pressures, kind of these, you know, four-man overloads, these double-A-gap mug looks that they've shown a lot of in camp, and kind of say, man, like, that's too good of a package for them not to use that. Now, yeah. I think they've got enough guys to win with four. I think you look at Dorrance Armstrong, you look at Von Miller, you look at Kinlaw, you look at Payne. Those guys have been excellent in terms of rushing the passer, Frankie Louvu. So you probably don't have to, but I just think what they've shown so far in camp from a pressure package perspective is really just too good, and they have to utilize it, I think, because, again, why would I not throw my fastball if it's looking that good? Now, I might be wrong, and it might change as they get into the season. They might say we can play more coverage, but I think one of the things they can do with this coverage group is play a lot of man coverage, bring an extra rusher, and say, man, like one of these offensive players is going to lose in pass protection to our group right now, and I think that's a pretty exciting proposition.
Logan, next week up at Foxborough, I expect it to be a slobber knocker, just knowing how Mike Vrabel coaches and how his teams play. I'm more excited for the practice than I am about the game. Are there two or three guys that you're saying, hey, like Foxborough is a real opportunity for him to, you know, show something to this coaching staff, whether it's as becoming a starter or solidifying his spot on this team?
Yeah, I think going into Foxborough, there's a couple positions I'm kind of keeping an eye on. One is the running back position, because, like, I want to see how all those guys handle the physicality of, you know, of the practice, the blitz pickup responsibilities of the practice, and then, like, for Merritt, like, getting tackled by NFL defenders in the preseason game. You know, for Chris Rodriguez, does he still have some pop? You know, he kind of struggled in the preseason last year because he looked a little bit out of shape. He doesn't look like that this year. Like, where is everybody at, and can you carve yourself a role? And then the other group of guys that I'm kind of keeping an eye on is who's going to be the guy that steps up and says, I am the fifth or sixth wide receiver on this roster. You know, you and I were talking today on the sideline about Moore, about Strachan, about, you know, Hurd, and, like, who's going to be that guy that says, I deserve this opportunity? Because really no one's – like, people have had good days, but no one's had that exceptional great – playmaking day. And even like Ja'Cory Brooks, who a lot of fans have talked about, like, he's been good but not great. And so who's going to have that great day? And I do think if you have a great week of practice up in Foxborough, you win your one-on-ones, you make some contested catches, I think you could probably, you know, start distancing yourself from the rest of that pack.
Obviously, Logan, the big story nationally, locally, is that Terry McLaurin is not in attendance. You just mentioned the wide receiver group, someone needing to step up to help out this quarterback in this passing offense. As we get closer to the regular season, Logan, and you think about, one, what this team was last year, and then, two, kind of the backbone of Cliff Kingsbury and Anthony Lynn and Coach Bobby Johnson, this running game last year, I described it as exotic smash-mouth football, Logan. I think despite Jayden being under center, it's who they want to be at their core is a physical run-first team. When you look at the 12 and 13 personnel sets that we're seeing here this camp, Is our guy Ben Sinnott going to allow them to play more of those looks so they can pass out of it? Or do you think this is still a situation where, hey, you'll see it, but it's going to be to run the football?
Yeah, and I'm curious to see how that progresses. You know, obviously he didn't practice today, or he was limited today. I might have met an individual, but he wasn't in team stuff. I think he's got some type of soft tissue injury. Don't quote me on that. I'm just kind of – I might be remembering something from weeks ago. Who knows? But – basically, like, I want to see what they get to with him. I want to see how he develops, you know, because, like, you have Zach, you have John. I think Colson Yankoff's had a really solid training camp, actually, too, going to give him his flowers. And Ben, you know, we've seen him have explosive plays in practice. We've seen him have explosive blocks in practice. We know he's an explosive athlete. Can he do that consistently is the question, right? He's a young player. He's coming from Kansas State. It's a little bit more complicated at this level. And so I'm fully confident that they'll be able to do more with him this year. I just don't know what that exactly is yet. And I'm going to defer to Cliff Kingsbury on that because he's made excellent personnel decisions in terms of maximizing talent throughout 2024. And I just expect that to carry into this year as well. So we'll see what it ends up being. But yeah, I can't wait to see what that tight end group looks like because, I mean, I don't know, you were at practice today watching Zach Ertz win all those man-to-man repetitions today. Like, he's still got some juice. Colson Yankoff, same thing. John Bates in the run game. Like, that is a fun, fun physical group to watch. And I hope Ben can find a more prominent role in it.
Logan, what have you thought of this Commanders offensive line through the first two padded practices? I thought – you know, today clearly an emphasis on running the football. Their first padded practice, they really struggled to get any movement in the run game. What did you think about today's session and their ability to, you know, create some creases for guys like Bill and C-Rod and B-Rob?
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of like the offensive line guy, you know, like, and what I would say to that is, like, you like to watch it, and I like to watch it too, is that I thought today was much, much better. Yes. I thought they kind of got the more of their, like, meat and potatoes type runs, like their bounces, their traps. They had a, I think they had a wham in there where, like, they were able to create some really clean creases for the running back guys where, like, they're not touched to, you know, running into the second level of the defense. And all those guys ran just exceptionally hard today. Like, you know, Jakowski Merritt, man, he's got this kind of wild horse running style. Yes. And then when C-Rod's got the ball in his hands, man, like, you feel his mass getting downhill explosively and with a lot of power. So I was really impressed with that group today. I think they're coming along. You know, offensive line, everyone thinks, oh, it's like, you know, you bring in new people and it's going to gel right away. You got to get six guys at the tight ends involved in the blocking service to start seeing runs and feeling combinations in the same way. That takes a little bit of time. And when you've added a bunch of new pieces and you've moved people around the front, like people talk about, oh, it's going to be better right away. It's going to take some time. And I think today was a really good data point for that offensive line. And I thought they did much better than they had been doing. And I'm excited to see them continue to progress. And I think they're getting hot at the right time heading up to New England.
Obviously, Sam Cosmi, his return, we'll find out a lot more about how close he is after the joint practices against Baltimore. But that right guard spot, Nick Allegretti's gotten a majority of the work there, Logan. Do you foresee him being the guy, or is there someone else that's caught your eye there as well that could potentially push him?
Yeah, I mean, I think Nick Allegretti deserves that opportunity. I mean, obviously, if Connerly comes along and develops really quickly, maybe Wiley puts his hat in that mix. I think Chris Paul has done well in his limited reps with the first team there. So
he's got a new body. To me, it feels like, about Chris Paul, he's definitely gotten in way better shape this year.
Yeah, and I think that's good. I think there's a lot of guys that seem like they came in really good shape. Kudos to Chad Englehart and that entire strength staff. Man, they've done a great job getting those guys ready to go. But what I will say is, yeah, it feels like it's Allegretti's job to lose. But if someone starts playing well, like we talked about, like Connerly looking like kind of developing at right tackle, if that developmental arc accelerates, I think Wiley could be in the mix to play a right guard there too. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But as of right now, I think your starting five is probably something resembling like Tunsil, Coleman, Biadasz, Allegretti, and Wiley. And then we'll see who develops and if anybody else can put their hat in the mix there.
I'll let you go on this, my friend. What have you made of the timing of this Washington pass offense, specifically with the first team led by Jaden Daniels?
Well, I think it's been I think the timing's been all right. I think it's just been a little bit of a struggle because I think the defense is playing really well. And today was a nice day for the offense to find some explosive opportunities. Like Jaden and Debo, that chemistry seems to be getting better each and every day. Like you know, fade today over Carlin Biggers to Debo, like perfect touch on the ball, great adjustment by Debo. You see him on the high crosses. Like they try to get him a screen today. Like that's going to be a really nice weapon for this offense. But again, like when you've got guys like we talked about Moore taking a lot of reps. We talked about Ja'Cory Brooks taking a lot of reps. We talked about Stratchin taking a lot of reps. Talk about Luke McCaffrey taking a lot of reps. Those guys, to me, are still developing and still trying to kind of put their stamp on this roster versus guys that I think are much more established than Mike Sanders, still Marshawn Lattimore. We mentioned the safeties, and Trey Amos is having a great camp. So I think the disparity in experience, the disparity in talent there, shows up sometimes in practice, and I think it makes it challenging. But I do think it's a great opportunity for those guys to say, hey, like we talked about at the top, like go to New England, let's make some plays, and I deserve to be on this roster and making this football team. So, again, that's why I think the receiver group at the moment is so compelling.
Logan, we appreciate you as always, my friend. See you out there soon, buddy.
Yeah. All right, man. Good talking to you, Leno.
That is Logan Paulson, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you check out the Take Command podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Him and Craig Hoffman do an excellent job with that. I always love picking Logan's brain because he called me an offensive line guru. First of all, he knows how to tickle my fancy and make me feel good about myself. And then two, he speaks my language a lot of the time with this stuff, man. And anytime I get to confirm my thoughts with him, I'm super grateful for it. Always appreciative of him being willing to give me his time. We'll take a quick time out. When we come back, final hour of power next here on the Team 980.